If you want to partner with us, you'll find information at the end of this podcast. So let's talk about some strategies. Let's say that you don't have anybody who's full of God to help you. So what you can do is just find somebody else who's willing to pray with you. And as you pray together, you'll move forward. And as the enemy starts harassing you, both of you, then the one who is stable will pray for the one who's becoming unstable, who's getting agitated or stuff's happening in their life. The other one will come together in prayer and declare all those things to be gone. And you will agree and come into agreement with that prayer, and the enemy will be gone. So what if there's five of you? So there's five of you praying. You have a little prayer session every day or every week. And one of you starts getting agitated. The other four pray over that one. Those who are stable, those who are not having trouble, pray over the ones who are having trouble, helping them out the ditch. Force multiplied. That's how it works. Donna and I do the same thing. We've been doing it for 8-9 years now. When I'm sick, she lays her hands on me and prays. I come into agreement and the enemy just gets smashed up. When something happens to us, the Lord always allows only one of us to be in trouble and the other one to be stable. And the one who is spiritual, the one who is stable, restores the other one who's having a hard time. That is covering each other in prayer. But I get people ring me up and they say, we're having a problem here, so Donna and I will come together, we'll pray, and we say to them, we'll provide air support. We just bombard the enemy over that person or those group of people, and they get out of the problem. Now, we can't always be there for everybody. So you need to develop strategies. You need to stay on this website, learn all about the strategies and apply them. And you can apply them with another person or with three or four. You know, when two people come together, there's a power, a great power. When three come together, when five come together, you know, you could have a church of 50 people and four people could come together and have prayer and pray over the church, first over themselves, spend 6 months over themselves praying, and then over the church, and they will see everybody in the church start to change. People will start to manifest and get angry for no reason at all, and then they will, and you'll pray over them. And you know, you don't have to go and lay your hands on them. You can take their picture, put them on your wall in your house, and just pray over them individually. And whenever situations come up against them, you pray over them as a group. Those who are spiritual, those who are out of the ditch, those who are getting out of the ditch, help the other ones. You assist in prayer. That's warfare. That is effective warfare. You pray in tongues, you get full of God, and when the enemy starts harassing you, the others come to the aid and pray over that person, stabilizing their life, and then that person can get back to the group and pray. And the enemy is messed up big time. He can't conquer and divide you because you're all together. So could you imagine if you got one or two or three people and you started praying, and then you looked after the transformation of your soul first? Because if you start praying over a church and you're not looked after yourself first, the enemy will come after you. He'll break up your prayer session so quick you won't know what hit you. That's how it works. The enemy will always come and fight back. But when you become spiritually strong, he can't do it. You know, you have a group of you to come together and cover each other in prayer. And then as you get stronger, then as you realize that you're strong enough to take on the enemy that influences other people in the church, you can pray over the people in the church. They don't even have to know. All you could say is, we're having a prayer session for the church. That's it. You don't have to get all gung-ho and say, we're going to hold you up in prayer, brother or sister. You know, some people get very prideful. And they say, I don't need prayer, because the darkness is in them. And, you know, the best way to do that is to pray for them quietly. Pray over them. And you'll find that their attitudes will change, and they will start to have fruit in their life. And then as they start bearing fruit, you can bring them into the group, and then the group gets bigger and bigger. So how does the group form? Well, 2, 3, 4, 5 people come together in agreement. They pray for each other. They get each other out the ditch. And as they get each other out the ditch, then they can pray for the church. And as individuals in that church get out the ditch because of their prayers, because of the 4 or 5 people's prayers, they can bring them in to the group, right? Because they got out the ditch because other people prayed for them. And they didn't have any understanding, and they'll start moving in to the things that where they're functional. And then you get them praying, and they join the group, and you pray, and then you get more people out the ditch, and then you tell them and show them what you did, and then they join the group. And then you got 5, 6, 10, 20, 30 people praying over 100 people in the church, and it gets more and more. Eventually the enemy gets overwhelmed by the power. He goes somewhere else and harasses other people. And he leaves your church to grow because you're covered in the glory of God. And, you know, sure, you'll get bombarded by the enemy, but he'll have to go back and work on an attack. He can't just draw one out within minutes. He has to go back and organize other people who are ungodly to come into your life and to speak rubbish into your life and to disrupt the church. But by the time that happens, you guys are so full of God, you've got revelation of Jesus Christ, you're walking in discernment, and you can discern these people, and then you can pray over them. And then instead of them being an agent of darkness to try and destroy the light in you, you capture them and they become sons of light. The enemy has a bad time. You're capturing all of his people and you're turning them into functional Christians. That's really bad. He really hates that. So that's the way you do things. So you gather together, have a prayer session, and it might take 3 months for you all to get settled in. And then you start praying for the people in the church. And then 1 by 1, 2 by 2, 3 by 3, big groups will start to change. Momentum will start to change. The enemy will come against you through those people because he's got them in his pocket. But because you have the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God is much powerful than the kingdom of darkness, you have the edge. You're always far greater than the enemy can throw at you. No matter what situation comes upon you, you have the edge, but you need to understand how to wield the sword properly. You pray in the spirit. You know, spiritual warfare, taking the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God, praying with all prayer and supplication in the spirit, praying in tongues, and then inspired English because you prayed in tongues against darkness, and you are destroying the darkness, you're dismantling it in your lives, then in your church, and then in your community. You have to move forward like that. You can't go from an individual to a community. First, clean yourself up, clean your church up, get your church functioning as a body of Christ, right? And then that body of Christ can warfare over the community, the town. And that's how it works. That's the power that you use. That's the power you can have. If you get the beam out of your eye, then the church gets the unrighteousness out of its operation, then it can start to be a force for righteousness within that town. You can start to pull down heaven into that place, and people will come to that church and get healed, get their lives set free, because that church has got a light in it. It's working as an agency of the kingdom of God. It's working as a local agency to destroy darkness. That's how you do it. It might take a year for you to do that. You can't just do things overnight. You have to lay down a foundation before you build a house. You lay down a cement foundation so that the house doesn't wobble. You lay down all the first fix or the wooden structure, and then you put the walls on there which hold the roof up, and then the house is stable. Then the people can dwell in the house. That's how it works. You have to get everything in its right order, or else you will crash and burn. There's no quick fix The only way you can do it is by having someone come in to help you, and then you get a head start, or you do it from a standing start. Either way, you go through the journey, you go through the jungle, you go through the desert, and you get the water yourselves. That's how it works. That is an important aspect, and that is a strategy that you need to consider. And that strong and mighty tower is going to be your place of safety and refuge within yourself, then within a group of people, then with the church. And that church can be the strong and mighty tower, and people will come into the church, and the church won't be a problem to them, it'll be a benefit to them. And as people come in, they will be cleaned up by the strong ones who are walking in the light, and they will, the strong ones will warfare over the poor, weak, new Christians and establish them in righteousness. Pray over them, straighten them up. That's how you warfare effectively. And then once you've got that church going and you're all doing well and you've got the functionality operating, then you can start on your city. You can start on the elected officials, the government of your city, and then they will form righteous laws to stop all of the unrighteous and the lawless happening, and then things will start to get cleaned up. You'll start pulling down strongholds. You'll start breaking curses over that city or over that area. You'll start warfaring effectively because you have made yourselves a strong and mighty tower in Jesus. That's how it works. That's the only way it works. And you can be sustainable if you follow that program. If you follow that way, that is a biblical inspired program. Man's programs are rubbish. They're made up from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And some parts work and some parts don't. And they continually fight against each other, the ideas. The idea is to have your ideas only from the kingdom of God, not from man. Because man's ideas and wisdom is bound to fail eventually. But God is full of wisdom, and his kingdom will go on forever and ever. And if you get kingdom principles within yourself and start functioning in the right structure, if you start functioning in the right protocols and you start understanding, things will just fall into place. Because the kingdom of God wants to establish righteousness in your life and in your church and in your city. But you have to do it kingdom principles. You have to go and find out what are the kingdom principles. First get the beam out of your eye, then you get the little speck out of someone else's. First get the beam out of your church, then you can get the little speck out of the unrighteous world. Because judgment must begin at the house of God before you can start judging the people in the world. That's how it works. That's the functionality. First judge yourself worthy, righteous, holy, and capable, and God will back you up with the kingdom of God. He'll back you up with dunamis, dynamite power. He'll back you up with authority, and you and him will go and sweep through the land and destroy all that exalts itself above the knowledge of God, and you will establish righteousness in you, in the church, and your city. There is another strategy that you need to consider. It's called the strong man strategy. And the strategy is that the guy who runs the show, he calls all the stuff. So who's the strong man of your church? Usually a pastor. He's either running in fear and hiding, or he's trying to get himself out the ditch, whatever. But if you try to start warfaring over yourself, you've got to warfare over yourselves first. Then the next is the church. But the first person in the church is your pastor or the oversight. You get them and you pray over them. First, clean yourself up first. Then pray over them first. Get them on board. You know, the Bible says that if you want to destroy a strong man's house and steal all his goods, plunder his house, you go and you bind up the strong man. So you bind up all of the work that influences your pastor, that keeps him ineffective, that keeps him fearful or prideful or whatever situation is called upon him. I'll tell you three things that pastors and oversight fall into. Number one, they fall into pride. They're too proud to say that they are in the ditch. Some of them, then there's fear. They start to slip into secret sins because they can't get out the ditch themselves, and the enemy overwhelms them. They don't want anybody to know, and if they start getting on fire, people are going to know. And another one is they get embarrassed by someone else who's on fire more than them. It makes them look stupid. These things are all bound up in the flesh, because the pastor can't fight the war on his own. He needs the whole church behind him. So what you do is you get yourselves out the ditch first, then you warfare over the pastor and the oversight. You pray over them. You wash them in the blood of the Lamb. You take away all of the embarrassment, all the shame and guilt out of their life. Let them stand up strong. And then when they start showing some backbone, then you introduce them into your prayer. Then you've got the head of the church, or the strong men of the church, or the person who makes all the decisions, and they can make or break you in your little prayer session. They can break your whole prayer session up if they're working or being influenced by the enemy. And you can stall the whole thing. So you go after yourself first, then the pastor, which is the strong man, you plunder all of his goods, right? And then you and the pastor, your group and the pastor and the oversight go after the rest of the church. And you've got the head working with you. You've got the strong man, because oversight the elders of the church they're working for the Lord. They're supposed to be looking after the little flock. And if they're not on board, and you start getting all of these people on fire, and the pastor isn't on fire, the whole place will just break up. The church will split. You'll have the pastor who's being intimidated by the enemy and the oversight against all of those who are on fire, and you'll have a house divided amongst itself. First, bind the strong man up. The strong man is the darkness that influences the pastor. Get rid of him. You get rid of the strong man, and you've got a pastor that's on fire. He's got backbone and has the desire to go forward and to help you and to give you the authority to go forward as well. And you come into agreement with who God is actually working with as far as oversight or as far as elders. That's the best strategy, or else you end up with some form of civil war in the church. One big group against another big group. That's not the way it works. There's got to be unity in the church, and you need to work on the people who actually have been given that authority, and you pray over them first. Because if you do that, you can plunder all his goods. You know, the enemy wants to get the pastor on his side so that he can plunder all the goods of the pastor, which is the church, all the saints in the church. They won't move because he's got the pastor in check. But we take the enemy out of the equation and give the pastor authority and power and take away the reproach. And then he becomes an instrument for righteousness. That's a great strategy. It might take you a year to do that, but it's better than running around in circles and being, and causing division and all this other stuff. That's bad. You know, another thing I found, when we pray for people, they get out the ditch and they look around and they see all of their brothers and sisters in the ditch, and they say, them sinful rat bags. But they forget they're in the ditch. Because they're still walking in their unregenerated mind. They're still walking in their unholy attitudes. They're out the ditch, but they're still walking in their unholy attitudes. I say to those people, calm down. Sit down and pray. You've got a big head up. You're out the ditch, right? You're on solid ground. Now start praying, and the Holy Spirit will warfare over all of the unholy attitudes in them, and he will change their attitude and their function. No longer will they be pointing the finger at everybody in the ditch, but the love of God will cover a multitude of sins, and they will no longer be people who are pointing the finger at everybody else, but they will be functional, and they'll walk in the love of God. And when people who are in the ditch, they won't go up to those people who are in the ditch and say, you loser. they'll say, "Here, brother, let me help you." And they'll put their hand down and they'll pull them out, and they'll work together to get out the ditch, because the love of God covers a multitude of sins. That's when the fruit starts happening. Everybody seems to fall into the same pattern. They get free from the enemy and they feel safe now, but they look around and look at everybody else and say, "You're all losers. Why aren't you like me?" Unfortunately, they're not changed in their heart and their mind. They're free from the enemy, but they're not changed in their heart and their mind. And if you let them pray a little longer, the love of God will envelop them. The love of God will be shed abroad in their heart by the Holy Spirit and transform them. And their motivation will no longer be pointing the finger at everybody else, but they will be helping people. They'll be loving people. They'll see people through the eyes of God, through the eyes of Jesus. And they will, all they want to do is get their brothers and sisters free. You get a lot of people who start praying, and when they get out the ditch, you get a group of people start praying, and they get out the ditch. First thing, they start looking at all the church, say, "We've got a loser church here. We're out the ditch, but they're losers." But they've got to learn to keep praying themselves into the love of God, where they become functional, because their transformation hasn't yet finished. They might get out the ditch, but they still need to pray and bring themselves into the love of God so that they become functional, so that they become, their motivations are motivated by love and not by prideful, fleshy things, because pride is a killer. Everybody who's out the ditch first looks around and goes, "Well, I'm successful, but you're not." That's prideful, and that comes from the enemy. But once they pray a little longer, the Holy Spirit starts moving from getting them out the ditch to covering them in the love and the glory and making them functional and letting them see through the Father's eyes. That's what it's all about. It's about the love of God. You can't fake the love of God. That's natural love. It has to be manufactured by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit pours out the love of the Father over our hearts massively. And then our motivations are motivated by the kingdom principles and the love of the Father. That's how it works. That's how it works. In you and your church and the city, that's how it works. We'll leave it there. So if you'd like to help us out at Clear Vision Revival, just go to the bottom of the page and click on support. It'd be greatly appreciated.